You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Balls. I'm your host, Eric Kane, @_Kaner on Twitter, @LockedOnBalls. That is where you can find this podcast every single weekday morning, 5 days a week, completely free, wherever you get your podcast. I am your host, Eric Kane. I do radio here in Knoxville, Tennessee at The Sports Animal, and I'm a part of the rival site covering Tennessee, that is VolQuest.com. In today's show, I'm excited to do Twitter Tuesday, talking about your comments, your questions, your concerns. I'll go over those in segments one and two. And then in segment three, we're going to get our first glance at Florida. First look early in the week. Of course, Florida, whoo, coming off a nearly shocked the college football world, didn't they, against Alabama over the weekend. So obviously, the task is going to be a high one. The challenge is going to be a tough one. And we'll take a look at Florida, our first glance, a little later on into the show. But that's kind of the rundown here for a Tuesday show. And don't forget, we're talking Locked On Vols here. But if you want to know everything about the SEC 5 days a week, that's at Locked On SEC with host Chris Gordy of Sports 790. You can follow the Locked On SEC podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. So let's go ahead and get into it. Thanks again to everybody who submitted their questions, their comments, their concerns at _Kaner, @LockedOnVols, and on Facebook at Kaner on Air. Every single Tuesday is when we kind of go over this. So we'll look at Peter Sonsky first, and he's got some stuff about the Gators defensive line. He said, Gators D-line can apply pressure without a blitz. Bama had only 90 yards rushing, although Young doesn't run a whole lot. Vols O-line has been the weak link. Even if Cooper is back, this is a deficiency against Florida. Yeah, Peter, I couldn't agree more, man. Florida's defense was not great in 2020. So far, it's been fine. Of course, they played Bama and then, you know, USF and Florida Atlantic, I believe. I don't have my notes right in front of me that I took a lot earlier in the day. But nonetheless, you know, the defense has been fine so far, only one takeaway. But in 2020, Florida led the SEC with 33 sacks, even though the defense wasn't great. Why? Well, you've got Brennan Cox Jr. on the edge. You've got Zachary Taylor on the edge. You had three really, really good linebackers that kind of aided in that front seven. You say goodbye to two interior defensive tackles that you addressed via the transfer portal. But, you know, their ability to shut down the run game is going to be critical. And look what it did against Alabama. Of course, as you pointed out, held the Crimson Tide to under 100 yards for only the third time since 2014. I mean, that's pretty remarkable, right? So it's going to be a challenge for Tennessee. Even if Cooper comes back, you slide Cade Mays over, you slide Jerome Carvin over, which I'm expecting that to be the offensive line heading down to the Swamp. I think Cooper Mays could have played. I think they were very cautious with him. I think some other guys could have played as well. I think they were cautious with them because, again, it is Tennessee Tech. Is that going to fix everything? I'd say probably not. You guys know my thoughts from yesterday's show about how, man, it was Tennessee Tech. You have got to dominate that line of scrimmage, and Tennessee flat out just didn't. So we really haven't gotten a good look at what this offensive line is. I mean, we got it for two drives against Bowling Green, two touchdowns, and then Cooper Mays suffered his injury where he had to go out. He tried to come back in, then ultimately left for the rest of the game in the second quarter, and we haven't seen him since. So we haven't seen a good sample size of what this offensive line can be when they're at full strength, but regardless, again, there's no excuse for how it performed against Tennessee Tech, in my opinion. So, Peter, some good thoughts there. It's going to be a challenge. Florida's front seven will be a tremendous challenge, but hey, they're on the schedule. Tennessee's got to be up for it, and we'll have to see exactly how Tennessee and Glenn Ellerbe combat that in the Swamp on Saturday. We'll go to Hitter 94. Twitter Tuesday, what do you make of Swain's criticism? That's VFL Jason Swain of the route running and all that of this position, saying that this leads to some of the inconsistencies in the past game performances. Seems odd considering our fairly veteran receiving corps and how successful Burns has been in the past as a player and a coach. Well, let me first, you know, say I feel like I'm very knowledgeable on football, having played it, hashtag Uncle Rico, but also having covered it and being around it my whole entire life. But I never played wide receiver, go figure, if you know what I look like, right? I've never played wide receiver. I play linebacker. I cover wide receivers, okay? I cover tight ends and stuff, but I don't know what goes into route running. I do know that, you know, it's all about reading. So a lot of times the receiver on certain combination routes, the receiver is reading what the defensive back is doing, and he is running his route based off the defensive back. It's up to the wide receiver to make the correct read. It's also up to the quarterback to know what read he's going to make. And so I'm not going to pretend like I know everything that goes in and out of that position because I haven't done it. So Swain would know so much more about that regard than I ever would. But when he is critical of the route running, I mean, I believe him. I mean, Josh Heupel has said consistently that it's not just the quarterback, it's the whole passing game, you know, with the drops, with the misalignments, running the wrong routes or not reading it correctly. Not just the quarterback. Now, point blank, what we see is overthrows. And again, that's an error. You can't just continue to overthrow wide open receivers that could go in for six or could go in for chunk plays, first downs at the very least. But I do think that there is something there with Jason Swain's comments about the inconsistencies of route running at the wide receiver position and how that's also hindering the quarterback's progression and the offense overall. So you hope that gets worked out. I mean, you know, Cody Burns talked at the quarterback's club on Calhoun's on the River Monday and kind of said that, hey, Young's still learning. The chemistry's not there, quite frankly, yet. Quarterbacks are reading it. Wide receivers are reading it. So I just think it's just going to have to take reps and reps and reps. I mean, Tennessee's three games into it. I think it's improved. It's improved a lot since Bowling Green in terms of the wide receivers production, in my opinion. But I still think it's got some ways to go. We will go to Jay Grass. Hey, Kane, I've noticed UT basketball seems to be around 17 or so in the way too early college basketball rankings, even though they have a top five 2021 recruiting class. What do you think the Vols need to be a serious Final Four contender this year? And do you have any record projections? I know that the schedule is going to be extremely tough. Yeah, good question, man. And, you know, it's kind of funny. We're all talking talking football. It's football season. It's almost bizarre when you get a basketball question thrown in there. But nonetheless, you know, basketball season's an exciting time for Tennessee. And what Rick Barnes has done here since being at Tennessee is created hope and excitement in the basketball program. And I think if last year taught us anything, it's saying, you know, don't count your eggs before they hatch or whatever. You know, that's some old saying my mom would always say. But it's like you got to see it to believe it. Don't buy into the hype just yet. Don't claim this team to be a Final Four team just yet until you see them play together and play in conference games. I think we all learned that lesson last year with just the tremendous talent that was on the roster. I mean, you had an All-SEC player and John Fulkerson returning. You had Epons, the reigning defensive player of the year. You got a couple of backcourt players that returned. And then you add in Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. I mean, you know, Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, two first-round picks to the NBA. There's no reason for that team not to be better than what it was. Josiah Jordan James also on that team. But the point of the matter is it just never gelled. Now, on paper, I think the Tennessee basketball team is much better. What I think the Tennessee basketball team needs is a true post game. Okay, and Tennessee didn't have that last year for one reason or another. John Fulkerson battled injuries all season long, was knocked out in the SEC tournament, couldn't play, you know, from there on out. I understand that inconsistency started with John Fulkerson in the post position, but also didn't have a true point guard. He didn't have a true point guard at all. Now, Tennessee has addressed that with Kennedy Chandler, and I think that's going to help. Can Brandon Huntley Hatfield be a true post player alongside John Fulkerson this year? Can, you know, Quentin Dibunje kind of help out in that regard as well? Can Jonas Adu help out in that regard as well? I don't think any of these guys are going to be playing 30-plus minutes a ball game, but can you rotate in there and give Tennessee a little something-something alongside John Fulkerson and some of the other guys who are coming back in order to establish a true post game? I'm not saying Tennessee's offense will run from post out. I don't think it will. I mean, when you got all the players returning in the backcourt, you got Josiah Jordan James, who can also play the four in small situations. But you got Kennedy Chandler, who's going to be likely a lottery pick, and so it's going to run through him. It'll be interesting to see exactly, you know, what happens, the way things, you know, shuffle. Of course, you've got a three-point specialist that's joining the team as well this year from Auburn. So there's a lot of hype again coming into the year. We'll have to see. As far as the schedule, I'm not even going to try to pretend about a record prediction right now. I know it's going to be tough. Tennessee's schedule, for the most part, is out there, and you can get it at utsports.com or on your favorite app. But I just know that Tennessee needs to gel together. It's such a vanilla answer. It needs to gel together as a team first. Let's see what it looks like, because on paper, this team is way more complete than it was this time last year. This team is way more complete than it was ever throughout the season last year. Let's see these freshmen get some reps in there. Let's see these transfers fall into the mix. Let's see how Rick Barnes can get these guys going. Plus, this year, it's not a COVID year. These guys have been practicing all summer long together, so I think that would help. Jay Grass, I appreciate you chiming here on Twitter Tuesday. And last one here, in segment number one, we will go to Trevor Lawrence underscore I'm underscore Trev. And this question is, if Tennessee is horrible at running the ball this year, can they have an offense of short passes and the QB runs to make up for it? Man, it's weird because when Joe Milton's in the ballgame, he throws. His throws 20 yards and shorter have been fantastic. Throwing on the run, throwing out routes, they've been superb. Of course, you know Joe Milton can mix in some runs with the quarterback as well as Hendon Hooker. I think Tennessee tries to do that, nickel dime, and then take a deep shot. And for it's been there. It's been schemed up perfectly. And for the most part, you've got receivers that are getting behind the secondary. It's just Tennessee can't connect on those. It's not like Tennessee's trying to live and die on the long ball. I know it might seem like that because there's been so many overthrows. But Tennessee's been nickeling and diming in the short passing game, short to intermediate passing game, and with QB runs, and with the rushing attack for the most part so far this year, for the most part. And then it's taken a shot. So right now, the shot over the top is not there. Until it's fixed, we can't count on it, right? The run game, you know, it against Tennessee Tech, it was just not what it needs to be. Against Pittsburgh, for the most part, it was not what it needs to be. The quarterbacks have been pacing the run game the last couple of weeks, and that's good because Milton and Hooker will be asked to do just that moving forward. But getting the run game back to what it looked like against Bowling Green, I mean, that's easier said than done. Tennessee, outside of Tennessee Tech, maybe South Alabama later in the year, is not going to face an easier defense than it did against Bowling Green, where Tennessee dominated the run game. You don't have to dominate the run game, in my opinion, but it's got to be a threat. Because if it's not a threat, then they're going to empty the box, and it's going to be that much more difficult to throw, in my opinion. So I like how Tennessee does nickel and dime with the short to intermediate. It's going to take a shot when it can, but you've got to have a run game to have any type of semblance and any type of respect the threat, essentially, is what I'm saying. If not, they're just going to empty the box and say, all right, you know, just try to throw to beat me. And Tennessee's not good enough right now to do that, in my opinion. All right, segment number one is in the books. We will get back here with more Twitter Tuesday questions in segment two. But first, Prize Picks. Have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is the daily fantasy that's made easy. I love it, and I know you will as well. Prize Picks is the leader in college sports daily fantasy. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers the star players of the Power Five as well as the mid-major players that you might not have heard of yet. Prize Picks offers any prop you can possibly think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All of your users can deposit and use the promo code we'll give you here in just a little bit to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. You pick 2 to 5 players and the over-under on the projections. You can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sport entries as well, so you can go to the NBA as well as the NFL all on the same entry. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in less than 60 seconds. It's really just that easy, all right? Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com or go to the App Store and download the app today. That's Prize Pick. It's daily fantasy made easy. And Rock Auto. The ever-increasing makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain or auto parts dealer to keep up with all the parts you need. So why endure the often pointless and sometimes intimidating questioning that comes with waiting behind the counter for a person behind the counter who are looking through for your parts and their computer, choosing only the brands and specifications that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computer and you have access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend up to 50, sometimes 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership when you can get them online from the people at rockauto.com who have been serving customers for over 20 years, the professionals and the do-it-yourselfers? Rock Auto prices are always reliably low for every single customer. They've got everything you can possibly think of, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oils, even the new carpets. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to all of your auto part needs. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car and your truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Segment two of a Twitter Tuesday show, it starts now. I'm your host, Eric Kane. You can find this podcast at underscore Kaner, at Locked On Vols on Twitter, and at Kaner on Air. That is the Facebook page. Twitter Tuesday continues with Willie Amshoff. I think I pronounced that right. If not, I do apologize. You guys know how I am with words. Willie Amshoff says, hey, what does the defense have to do or need to fix in order to stop Florida's run game or at least slow it down? As well, Luke also chimes in, wants to know about stopping Florida's run game. So, yeah, it's interesting, man. The thing about running quarterbacks is that if you have a running quarterback like Tennessee does and Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton. Of course, Florida has it with Anthony Richardson and, of course, Emory Jones. Essentially, it's taking advantage of not having to waste a player. So if you take the snap, you hand it off, you know, you can have a great run game with a traditional running back. But if you take the snap and you do read options, you do some RPOs and incorporate the passing off that, you do speed options, you do Utah passes, all that type of stuff, you're utilizing all 11 players. You're not just having one guy take the snap and hand off, right? And so that gives you an extra blocker as well in the run game. And so that's a challenge, and that's why Tennessee's been successful and you know, incorporating both Milton and Hooker into the run game, and that's why Florida has as well. I mean, Florida and Emory Jones, you know, fantastic, you know, running the football against Alabama, which was, you know, it's Alabama. It's typically got one, you know, the best defense in the SEC year in and year out. And you know, even though Emory Jones struggled to throw the football against Alabama, the reason, you know, Florida was in this run game is because he read that read option so well, even towards the end of the ball game, even though he held on to that 2-point conversion so long. So in order for Tennessee to have, you know, good success, you got to play gap integrity, okay? You got to stick to your gaps. These guys are looking for cutback lanes all the time. You got to stick and play in your gap. The linebackers have got to flow. You've got to flow well. Backside linebacker is going to be so important away from the play because, again, Jones and, you know, these Florida tailbacks will be looking for the cutback lanes. Tennessee's secondary has got to come up and be physical. The cornerbacks have got to set the edge. The star position in Theo Jackson has got to come up and play like a linebacker. I mean, it's going to be a total team effort. So the way I look at it, the defensive line, you know, clog up your holes, clog up your gaps, okay? Take up blockers. Linebackers flow well, secondary come up, cornerbacks set the edge, force it inside, tackle, gang tackle. And much like Alante Taylor said as well today, Tennessee has sworn the ball very well this year so far, yes, but it hasn't faced a challenge like it will against Florida coming up here in a couple days, and that is true. But, you know, the first guy gets up there, stands him up. Second guy comes in there and rips that football loose. That's something we haven't seen Tennessee do, but obviously is a part of football that you'd like to see. So Florida will be taking advantage of having an extra blocker in there, as does Tennessee when it does it. But it's got to be a total team effort, front line taking up the guys, the linebackers flowing, and defensive backs coming up, setting the edge, and applying some help there. So a good question, Willie. Amshoff and Luke will continue to discuss the intricacies of Florida in Segment 3 and, of course, as the week goes on. Cam Manning chimes in, and he is in response to my Twitter Tuesday post that I put out there. He said, hey, I was in the swamp 2 years ago for that game. I just need reassurance that we're going to score more than 3 points. Yeah, that game was abysmal down there in the swamp. Really, this series has been competitive up until 2017, and since 2017, it has been completely one-sided. Yeah, Florida's won the majority of these battles, don't get me wrong, but at least the games were competitive. Starting in 2017 on, they have not been competitive whatsoever. So, nonetheless, Cam, sorry about that day. I would say it's a memory you have, but it's probably a memory that you want to forget. I tweeted out the kickoff time for Tennessee at Missouri, and I'm going to that football game, by the way, and so it's a new kickoff. It's going to be really interesting to see the travel arrangements getting there. I'm not going to the Swamp this weekend. It's the only game this year I will not be attending. I'll be at every other game. But anyway, I tweeted out Tennessee at Missouri next Saturday is a noon Eastern kick on the SEC Network. Our guy Justin Blair chimes in, this sucks. I'm getting too old today. Drink. I love that. That is really, really funny. Blake Ballinger chimes in, and he says, I'm happy with everything so far except the offensive line and probably the running backs. The quarterbacks will get it figured out, in my opinion. I agree. You've got Josh Heupel. His track record speaks for itself. It might take a little while, but I do agree with you there. I think it will eventually get figured out. But it won't matter if there's no run game to balance things out. Our quarterbacks right now are our only run game. This team as a whole, so far, I would give it a B-. How much better do you think people would feel had Tennessee controlled the line of scrimmage better in the first few games? I think fans have felt a lot better about it, you know, where you're at right now. Of course, Bowling Green, Tennessee dominated a lot of scrimmage. It is what it is. Pittsburgh, not so much. Tennessee Tech, not so much. So if you're able to control the line of scrimmage and you're able to get a push and able to run the football effectively, just like you said, it balances things out and it allows things to open up in the pass game. Again, you know, right now, if I'm a D coordinator, I'm taking the guy out of the box. Yes, you have to be mindful of a mobile quarterback and Hooker and Milton, but you know, what I've seen the last two games, even though Tyon Evans went off against Bowling Green and Jabari Small went off against Bowling Green, what I've seen from Tennessee's running backs the last two games and Tennessee's run game, I'm not scared of it right now. And so until it starts gashing me, I'm taking the guy out of the box, right? And so I think if Tennessee's able to control the line of scrimmage, get 4 yards per pop running the football, not 2.7, it would set Tennessee up in a much better position right now. So I couldn't agree more, and we'll have to see exactly kind of what happens moving forward. Got a couple more. We'll go to JR. JR says, "Hey, Eric, do you think Harrison Bailey should be given more chances with reps in games or give them to Hooker? Bailey is young and honestly will be around longer than the other two. That's at least my thinking. Care to weigh in?" Yeah, JR, I'll weigh in, man. And this is not to you because so many fans are asking this. We have callers calling the radio station all the time asking about this. And again, the worst thing, Austin Price said this of VolQuest.com a couple of weeks ago, the worst thing that ever happened to Harrison Bailey was he was awarded that 5-star late in the recruiting cycle. Sometimes recruiting cycles come in and they reevaluate the star system. Harrison Bailey was already committed and ready to roll to Tennessee, and they awarded him a 5-star. And because he is a 5-star guy, the expectations are just essentially through the roof. Because he is a 5-star quarterback that elected to come to Tennessee, the expectation is you set foot on campus day one, you're Peyton Manning. Well, I got news for you. Peyton Manning wasn't Peyton Manning. He stepped foot on campus day one, right? We know that. But that's just not been the case. Will he ever be a factor in this offense? I don't know. Maybe. Will he ever grow and develop into being that live up to expectations that he had unfairly, in my opinion, put on his shoulders coming into Tennessee? I don't know, maybe. But what I can say right now is Harrison Bailey is not in the fixture to be QB1 of this football team. It's just not. And why would he? I understand the frustrations with Milton, but what has Hendon Hooker done to give you any pause right now to say Harrison Bailey should be playing over Hendon Hooker? Is Hendon Hooker the best option for this football team? Right now, in my opinion, yes. But, I mean, that's a story for another day. Does he have limitations compared to Joe Milton? 100%. You want it to be Joe Milton because the sky's the limit with Milton. But Hendon Hooker, what's he done to give you any pause so far right now? Just had a career high of 4 total touchdowns the other day. I know it was Tennessee Tech, but Hendon Hooker brought this team back and had a chance to win that football game against Pitt 2 weeks ago. I'm not trying to just choo-choo this Hendon Hooker train right now, but the point remains, it's clear that Josh Heupel views Milton and Hooker as better options than compared to Harrison Bailey right now. Jeremy Pruitt's staff did the same thing, guys. They waited as long as they could, and then finally they played Harrison Bailey. Again, I'm not trying to slam on the guy. I'm just saying right now, it's not there. Hopefully it will get there sooner or later, but it's not there right now. So the other day, I was not surprised. I told you guys on this podcast, they're going to give Milton and Hooker as much run as they possibly can in that football game. Milton didn't play, so Hooker got all the run, right? I didn't like that they kept Hooker in there late in the third quarter when they put the backup offensive line in there. I didn't like that, but I had no issue with them playing Hooker as long as they did because he needs every rep he can possibly take because he's potentially your starting quarterback going down to the swamp. And so, to answer your question, JR, no, I don't think his reps should have. I don't think his he should be cutting into Hendon Hooker's reps right now. I think they handled it the right way, and I just think it's let's check back in 6 weeks. Let's check back in spring practice. Let's check back later on to see how Hendon Hooker progresses because right now it's evident and it's clear he is not the option for this Tennessee football team. And I think I've tried to do my best to kind of allude to that as we've gone on along the process. I think I've even said it a couple of times, to be honest, but that's just kind of how I view that. But JR, appreciate you chiming in, man, and I hope I answered your question to the best of my abilities. Last one, we will go to Vol Fan Twitter Tuesday. This can also be a question you revisit as the season goes on. Have you seen anything from Tennessee so far that you consider elite? Is there anything close, and if so, what needs to be corrected or improved upon to be considered elite? Yeah, I gotta be honest with you. There is nothing right now. There is nothing with this Tennessee football team that I consider elite. Do I like a few things? Yeah, I like the way the defense has played so far. Now it's gonna get tested now that you're in SEC play. I like the way Theo Jackson's been playing. I like the fact they're playing a lot of defensive linemen. I like the fact that the secondary swarms of the football and helps in the run game. Offensively, I love the way Tennessee and Tyon Evans ran the football in game one. I like the way the tight ends are being incorporated into this offense. I think they need to run block a little bit better. I like some of the makeup of the wide receivers on this team, but there's nothing right now, not even close, what I consider elite on this football team. Maybe we can check back in a couple weeks and see if we're any closer, but right now, nothing on this football team screams elite to me. But appreciate you chiming in there, Vol fan. Get me another one next week. All right, we will get a first glance at Florida in segment number three, but first, Bet Online. We're back better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as the teams are back to start another football season. As always, Bet Online, it's your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this year. With new updated sites and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline AG continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device. Sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100 with that promo. From football to basketball to boxing, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Bet Online, again, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Bet Online, it's your online sportsbook experts. All right, we got a final segment here of a Twitter Tuesday edition. Guys, thanks so much for all your Twitter Tuesday submissions. Every week, it's one of the favorite episodes I do each and every week. I love it. I love hearing from you guys. And of course, don't ever fear. Always reach out to me if you guys want to at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. Gonna do a short, brief segment number three because, of course, you guys know me. I went a little long-winded there. And we'll get our first glance at Florida. Who are the Florida Gators? We'll continue to break down Florida as the week goes on. We'll get some guests on to share their thoughts as well. And so far, Florida, of course, is 2-1 on the year. 35-14 win against Florida Atlantic, 42-20 win at South Florida, and then the 31-29 loss to Alabama. Alabama led that game 21-3 at the end of one. Florida then stifled its defense, gave up only 10 points combined in the remaining three quarters. Florida's Florida had totaled 440 yards of total offense. It ran for 245 yards against Alabama. It held Alabama's rush game to 91 yards, and it was 4-12 on third down. So that third down percentage, not great, but man, Florida put forth a fantastic effort against Alabama in that one. Emory Jones, still not great throwing the football, 18-28 in that ball game, an interception, did have 77 yards on 19 carries and a touchdown. Malik Davis, the running back, had 86 yards and a touchdown on 10 carries, and the tight end who's replacing Kyle Pitts this year, it's Keon Zipper. So anyone that's fluent in the English language can help me out with that name. he had four receptions for 51 yards. But overall, this Florida offense is averaging, and again, it's early on, plus you had two cupcake games. I wouldn't call South Florida cupcake, but you know what I'm saying. Averaging 35 points a game, 552 yards of total offense, 73 plays per game, 335 yards on the ground, 7.6 yards per carry for Florida so far this year. Again, only three games in, numbers are skewed a bit. It's throwing for 217 yards a game, time of possession around 30 minutes per game. It's only given up two sacks. You look at some of the other players on offense. You got Malik Davis, who I mentioned. You got Damian Pierce, who's the bigger back. He scored five touchdowns on 18 carries so far this year. Former five-star running back at Clemson, now at Florida, DeMarcus Bowman. He has also seen some action a little bit at wide receiver. I mean, I mentioned Kyle Pitts. You said goodbye to him. Of course, no more Kyle Trask. You said goodbye to him. But also another first-round pick and Kadarius Toney. He's gone. But Jacob Copeland's back for like his 13th year at Florida. Seven receptions, 200 yards, and two touchdowns, leading the way in the receiving corps for Florida. One more wrinkle for Florida on offense. And guys, you know where I'm about to go with this. He did not play against Alabama. But according to beat writers covering the Florida football team, he could be back to 100% healthy for Tennessee. And if so, he will play against the University of Tennessee. This is the future for Florida freshman quarterback Anthony Richardson. Like Emory Jones, has the limitations throwing the football so far this year, 54% of just 6 out of 11 attempts, but 192 yards. But running the football, he's got a team-high 275 yards rushing on only 11 attempts, 2 touchdowns. Anthony Richardson is a dangerous guy, and if he plays against Tennessee, that's just one more guy you got to account for. So defensively, you've got the return of Muhammad Diabate at linebacker, who's currently leading the team. You've got two defensive ends in Zachary Carter and Brennan Scotch Jr., who are back and coming back for some more. You've got Kareer Elam, who has the one interception for Florida's defense. He's back at cornerback. But right now, the secondary a weak point for Florida, because you're breaking in four, actually, if you count the star position. You're breaking in four new starters. You had Jaden Hill, who was injured during camp, who was a cornerback, opposite of Elam. You had three returning linebackers to begin the season. Of course, unfortunately, Ventrell Miller was injured last week against South Florida. He's likely out for an extended period of time, so Florida's lost a little bit of punch on that front seven, really on that defense overall, but you wouldn't know it Saturday against Alabama, because, again, held Alabama to 31 points, had a chance to win that football game or tie that football game late in the fourth quarter after surrendering only 10 points combined in the final three quarters. Again, no Kyle Trask, no Kyle Pitts, no Kadarius Toney. You do bring back Emory Jones, Jacob Copeland, all the running backs that got significant snaps last year, three starters on the offensive line, and your two edge players on defense that helped lead Florida, or helped lead the SEC in sacks for Florida with 33 in 2020 football season. So that is a first look at Florida. A couple of notes real quick. Tennessee has not won in the Swamp since 03 in Casey Clawson. Tennessee has lost 15 of the last 16 to Florida. I just have to say it. It's part of my job. I know you guys know that. One other interesting note, and I'm going to end on this. Tennessee's inexperience at the quarterback position against Florida. Not only have these three quarterbacks on the roster for Tennessee never played in the Swamp, none of them have. Harrison Bailey, who's not thought to be a fixture in this football game whatsoever, he has the most experience. He threw for, I think it was like 14 of 22 last year, 111 yards and a touchdown and a loss in Knoxville. You have Hendon Hooker, who has never played against Florida, and Joe Milton has played against Florida. You got to go back to the 2018 season when he was a true freshman at Michigan. He got in a little run in that blowout loss to Florida in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. He completed one pass. He ran one time for 11 yards. So those are just a couple of the nuggets here as we get our first glance at Florida. If you are a subscriber to VolQuest.com, it's actually going to be free, so check it out. I'll tweet it out today, and I'll link it in the show notes if I remember to do so. But I will tweet it out, @_Kaner. First Glance Florida Edition. You can get all of what I just said and more in written form at VolQuest.com. That will do it for a Twitter Tuesday edition. We will continue to break down the Florida Gators. We'll hear from Josh Ward tomorrow. We'll have a crossover show with Brandon Olson later in the week of Locked On Gators, and a whole lot more as we continue to break down Florida. It's Florida Hate Week here on Locked On Vols. Now we're done with Locked On Vols. Let's check out Locked On Bets with your boy Q, handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get your daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag or wherever you get your podcast. Guys, I appreciate it. Great participation as always. We'll do it again for a Wednesday show. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Twitter Tuesday, everybody.